Good morning. It's time for the Clay County Corner, coming to you live from the historic Clay County Courthouse in Salina, Tennessee. For the next hour, the Clay County Corner will inform you of what's happening in our community. Sit back and enjoy the program.
Good morning, everyone. Of course, right off, I'd like to take this opportunity to welcome everyone here to the Clay County Corner on this bright, sunshiny morning here. We have got sunlight coming through the windows here. We've got the fireplace running a little bit, and it's nice and cozy in here this morning. And we're looking forward to a great show today, as we do each Thursday morning here at 9 o'clock on WVFB FM 101.5 Kicks Country. And we'd like to remind everybody, of course, we've got our birthday and anniversary club coming up today. We'll be reading those names off here after a while. And we're wishing some folks a happy birthday. We've got Miss Melissa White is here with me this morning. And we're going to talk a little bit about not only the postponed sesquicentennial celebration, but some we would like to wander off on some history subjects and things. And I do know all this time where we've been sheltered in that she's been receiving a lot of material from a lot of people, heard maybe some interesting stories that she might want to relate. Just looking forward to that here in a few minutes. And also, we want to thank everyone that makes this show possible here each Thursday morning at 9 o'clock, with a rebroadcast this evening at 6 o'clock, and streaming on the Del Hall Horizon website, where you can go there and pick out the ones you want to listen to. And, you know, maybe with everyone sheltering in at home, we've got more people tuning in here to 101.5 and listening to us. We hope so, and we hope we can brighten up their day in some way. Because I know some folks may be getting a little bit bored sitting around the house, but so far I haven't gotten very bored. I've found some things to do and keep myself busy. Got some catching up on some reading, and as I was talking to Miss White here a minute ago off air, found a new author here in Tennessee who had written a whole bunch of books, a gentleman named Scott Pratt from over in East Tennessee, who I think has a law degree, which kind of reminds you some of the John Grisham books, except, and you know how those books are, where they wander off and have about five or six subplots going on at the same time, and you got to back up a chapter once in a while to see which one of these criminals it is. But like I said, this one takes place here over in East Tennessee and Middle Tennessee. I read the first page of the new book, last night, and it opened up with a young lady sitting in a law office in downtown Nashville looking over the Cumberland River. So, you know, it's kind of familiar things, and it makes for great reading, and he's a great storyteller. But I just thought I'd throw that in if you don't have anything to do. You know, go online with your Kindle or your Nook or whatever and download you some good books and read them. And this is a great time it's a great time for Bible study, you know, just all kind, you know, and to sit back and look at yourself, look at where you're at, and look how things have changed for you here in the past few weeks, and how we have, I don't know whether it's good or bad, we've become a lot more self-centered. You know, we've got very few people around us, and the ones that are around us are ones that are very, very close to us, and they're getting closer all the time, even though sometimes during the day it may not feel like that. But now with my ranting, I guess what I'll do, Melissa, I'm going to take a little short break. We'll get in a few words from our sponsors, and which make this show possible, of course. Then I'm going to come back, and we might talk a little bit on a couple of three little items that took place in history today, since I know you're kind of a semi-history fan along with me.
You'd like to try to stump me there.
Well, no, these really aren't stumps this time, but we'll be back just in a minute.
Let's face it, we are not the most patient people on earth. We've become accustomed to having instant solutions to most any need. Macon Bank and Trust now offers an instant solution for your spending needs with Card at Once, an instant issue MasterCard debit card. Come in, open your account, and walk out with your new debit card. No waiting. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
Sweetie, want some fruit?
You have to use the right tool for the job. A power drill is the wrong tool to slice fruit. Just like an antibiotic is the wrong tool to treat viruses, including colds and flu. Antibiotics are only needed for certain bacterial infections. When they aren't needed, antibiotics won't help you, and the side effects could still hurt you. Ask your healthcare professional when an antibiotic is the right tool and when it's not. Visit cdc.gov/antibiotic-use.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Alvin and the Chipmunks want to remind you to keep bacteria in food from making you ill with four simple steps.
This will be a walk in the park.
Clean, wash hands and surfaces often.
I'm waiting for the ring cycle.
Separate, keep raw meats away from ready-to-eat foods.
Yep.
Cook, make sure meat, poultry, and seafood is cooked to the right temperature.
Fire in the hole!
And chill, refrigerate food promptly.
Bingo!
Check your steps at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council. The road trip to food safety starts at foodsafety.gov.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Welcome back, everyone. I just got a back-to-us signal here through my ear, and we are back. And like I said, Miss Melissa White's here with me. I don't think I ever, she never did have the luck of getting into my class, but she was in high school while I was teaching.
You were my class sponsor, Mr. White.
Yeah, I know, but, you know, well, that, I guess that was enough. What did we do for a class trip?
Well, now, Mr. Watson, you know that you took us down to Fort Walton Beach, one of the cheapest and best class trips ever. Don't you remember that you and Miss Faye and I went to see Gandhi down there?
Well, you know, I was thinking about that the other night. We finally came up, and I think what it cost y'all $135 or $140.
It was around $200.
Around $200. I couldn't remember exactly how much it was. And what we did, of course, we didn't have a whole. We didn't have any money at all in the class treasury. I mean,
that's typical.
Yeah. Well, for this crew, it was just a little bit typical. But I got online, called a motel down there, and found out the prices and everything, and came back and told them what it would cost them all to go. And they all came up with the money, and the deal was we'd take a school bus and go down there. So we rode the school bus down. No, we didn't.
You didn't, no.
So I came up with another brilliant idea. There wasn't enough room on the bus for all the luggage, so I rented the little U-Haul van. And my wife and I, we rode down in the van with the luggage, which was a much more peaceful ride.
That's how we went to see Gandhi, too, was in that.
And went down to, and I think while we were down there, I think I refunded you guys like $25.
It was fabulous that. Because you know that teenagers spend money. Yeah, and, got that at the end.
Yeah, everybody got a little bit of money when they'd run out. And it was, as Miss White said, it was one of the greatest class trips that ever been taken.
Simple and cheap and wonderful.
And we had a great time. Sometimes, you know, the alternate plans work out great.
Yes, especially when you have it in mind for us just to have a good time. I think you had chosen Fort Walton Beach because you'd taken a basketball team down there, right?
Yes.
Tell us some about that, don't you?
That was back in the day when we had one of the first, I guess they called it the AAU. We were one of the first areas around here. We were called the Upper Cumberland, and it was really at that time was made up mainly of just the Salina High School and the Salina Elementary School players, and we started playing, Joey Coe and those kids, they were like fifth, sixth, seventh graders, and we were, and most of the places had all-star teams. We were going up against all-star teams out of Memphis, Knoxville, Nashville, all those places, and we could always manage to finish third in the state tournament. And one year we lucked up and finished second with our older team and our younger team. And second place got to go to the national tournament, which was held down in Fort Walton Beach. And that was kind of a trip the same way down there. I kind of coerced the folks here at the central office to give us a bus to go down there in. We rode the school bus down to Fort Walton to play basketball, and Mr. Cecil and Chen drove us down, and his only payment was that he and his wife Patty got a room to stay in while they were down there.
Right.
So we made it down there and back, and we had quite a few people follow us down there. Of course, we didn't win the national tournament, but we were able to participate in it, and which was that was when, I guess, as a coach and as our players here, that we began to get in their minds that they were just as good as anybody anywhere, because we were competitive against the so-called all-star teams. And at that time in Memphis, I think there was probably, I believe, six or eight upcoming NBA basketball players that were playing basketball in Memphis at that time.
I witnessed a few of those myself, when those kids were in high school.
And I know that was, it was extremely good competition. And I think, it put that little thought in our players' minds, hey, we ain't all that bad, even though we are from Clay County. And, of course, that kind of advanced out, and I think, of course, that's a big deal now. That's another one of the mistakes I made for not getting to be the head of that thing here in Tennessee, because I think the guy doing that now, he's probably got a six-figure salary now for doing that.
Oh, my.
But it's big business now. And then it was just fun, and which I wish you'd go back to that, but it's not going to.
Well, it has to be fun, too, right?
Yeah. But it's a big business. All right. Now, you turned the table on me there for a minute. Well, I'll thank you for that. And I've got a couple of things here that in news today.
What happened in the past?
Well, now, this one here, in 1900, I mean, this is kind of good.
That's the four-hour time, Mr.
Yeah,
what?
This is the United States Postal Service issued the first book of stamps.
Wow.
I'd say there were probably penny stamps, maybe.
Oh, at the most.
Because I know we had penny postcards forever.
Forever.
And that's what they were called forever, wasn't it? Penny postcards. And it went to 2 cents. And I guess if she were still around, we would let this young lady, we'd have a challenge shoot-off with she and her Ira Wendell Sheriff here in Salina. In 1922, on this day, Annie Oakley set a new world record for clay target shooting for a woman. She had 100 clay targets in a row.
And she was not a young lady at that time.
No. And, of course, if you've ever traveled up 127 up through Ohio, you'll go by the little sign that says that's where Annie Oakley was born. And you go far enough up there and you'll get all the way up to Salina, Ohio, home of the Salina, Ohio Bulldogs.
Right. That gets confusing sometimes online.
Yes. And also, now, I thought these two kind of fit pretty good together. In 1924, the first wireless radio transmission was made. And then about how many years later? It looked like about 28 years later, that's my math right, 1956, the first solar-powered radio was introduced.
Well, that's interesting.
On this same day of the month. So now you could have wireless and be powered by the sun. We sit here and we think about, communications and things like this. That's where it all began anyway. And everything we've got now is wireless, our telephones, our TVs, our cars are even, our cars can even be driven wirelessly over the over the internet now.
Yes.
But from 1956 to now, there's been quite a bit of improvement in the solar power and wireless radio and wireless telephone. Do you have any solar panels on your house?
I do not yet, although I think that's a viable thing to do because we don't know, you know, what the future holds right now. Things may get in the short supply.
Right.
I'm not saying they will, but you have to think about possibilities, and to be as green as possible is probably a good idea.
I know Mr. Roy Henson has the panels up out his house. So.
Yes, he's always advanced.
Yeah. Roy beats, his drum beat is from a different drummer, I think, sometimes. But
he's a fantastic person, very progressive.
One of the most interesting, characteristic citizens we have in this county.
I agree completely. Quite the historian, too.
And right, and he did lots and lots of research on not only his family, but a lot of other family histories here in Clay County. Okay, now then, leading into that, he's also, hopefully, when we get around to it, that's one of those things I can't find my round to it sometimes.
You need to find that.
Yes. It is our sesquicentennial celebration. Give us a little, you know, rundown on what's going on and what's not going on right now.
Well, we did definitely have to postpone our major celebration in June because we just don't know how feasible it is for crowds to gather. We still will plan as much as we can. We may have to do some things, FaceTime or some other live broadcast online. We will definitely keep adding things to our website, and I add things daily to our Clay County, Tennessee Sesquicentennial 2020 Facebook page. And lots of people are sharing items with us, and so that's the quickest way to make those available. And then Kevin often adds some of the same information to our website. We have some videos of oral history interviews that we've done that will be uploaded at some point before our official date of entry as a county on June 16th. So hopefully on June 16th we will have some kind of something that we can do. Mr. Watson, we originally had planned a bean supper for that day with free cupcakes for everyone involved and to celebrate Clay County's birthday and a bell ringing. So hopefully something like that can still come around. It may have to be more virtual than in person, but we want to do all we can to celebrate our county. And since we do have technology available, we need to take advantage of that. So please keep sending in to our email, which is clayco. Now I can't remember what it is. Clayhistpres, CLAYHISTPRES, @gmail.com. If you have any items you want to share with us, any historical documents, photos, etc., or you can send us at our Facebook page, and we definitely give credit when we receive those from people. We want to make sure that everyone knows our sources.
Okay, and, you know, with our shelter at home that we've got right now, you know, I think I noticed on Facebook, and I know you do, that a lot of people that maybe didn't even realize that we're having this celebration have kind of, somebody has ignited a fire under them a little bit, and they're doing some family research and history, aren't they?
They are. I had someone who called me on the way here to ask if they can still do the First Families of Clay County, and they certainly can because that deadline is not until December the 31st, and that doesn't require any person-to-person interaction. You can find that form on our Facebook page, and we can email it to you. There's lots of ways that can happen, and you just mail that right to us, and we just mail your certificate right back, and you can be a part of our history that way. Well, again, it's important to us to preserve as much of our family history and our community histories as we can.
You know, and we were, I know the school history in Clay County, you know, when we set, every time we do research, we come across a new name of a little school somewhere here in Clay County, don't we? I mean,
yes.
I don't know what the number's up to now.
There were 60-something at one time.
And I think we've even surpassed that a little bit with different communities that had schools that existed for a little while. You know, I don't know exactly how the state school system was set up at that time and how many students we had to have a school. And I know, of course, I started at a one-teacher school, and I maybe 20, 25 students there.
And what school was that?
That was New Hope. And with Mr. Tim Reeser was the teacher 1 year, Mr. Carl Walker 1 year, and Miss Melton was the teacher 1 year. And I think after that I transferred to the big school in town.
How did that feel?
Well, it's kind of lost. You know, you go from having one or two people and you kind of go from, I don't know, it was totally different, you know, place where they served you lunch during the day. and you could get breakfast in the morning when you got there. And you hope, of course, we live reasonably close to the school if you wanted to walk over there. And, of course, it wasn't 10 miles uphill in the snow both ways.
Just one way.
Mm-hmm. But, you know, at that time, I guess the students don't realize. I know most of them now, they don't. Somebody said, you know, we have to ride a bus. Yeah, I don't want to ride a bus. But now, you know, in those days, we didn't have very many buses. And a lot of the schools out in the county, the New Hopes, the Brimstones, of course, Brimstone was a little bit bigger school, I think. It was one that's long gone. But the school bus didn't come by and directly, you know, pick you up and you get on the bus, you ride straight to school and get there at 8 o'clock or sometime close to 8. We actually arrived at school about 7 because the buses back in those days ran 2 routes. And we got to stay at the school building if we rode the bus until 4 in the afternoon.
Right, I heard that.
And a whole lot of times by ourselves because our teachers weren't required to stay with us. And during those days, you know, if they had something they had to do, they would leave us there by ourselves.
That sounds so strange now, doesn't it?
Primer through 8th grade.
I suppose the older children watched after the younger children.
Well, most of the time, but sometimes, you know, they would gather us younger fellas into a corner and tell us some big scary tale.
Well, that's a way of controlling you while you're waiting.
Yeah. But, you know, there were some great memories from those, from days like that. And of course, I think I mentioned this once before. I know my younger brother, Danny, he started the first grade here in Salina, and he didn't realize, I mean, he'd always sat pretty close to me out in New Hope.
Yes.
And he decided he'd do the same thing here at Salina Elementary for about the first month.
Oh, did they let him do that?
Miss Winnie Brown let him come down and sit beside me until he got acclimated.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah. And I saw the picture the other day. Tell us about the picture that someone posted about Miss Brown's class. I think you saw that, didn't you?
I did. I'm not sure I shared that to the Sesquicentennial page, but that was on the Salina, if you grew up in Salina, Tennessee page. Sherry Holman Brown, is that the one who posted that?
Yeah.
And it was a fantastic picture, and several people offered identifications, and it was cool because we had a small Alan West and a young Jerry Strong in the same class, and their teacher was Frankie Brown, and all three of those people became the superintendent/director of schools.
Yes, Miss Frankie finished out her husband Carmen's term after he passed away, and the other two, I guess Jerry was selected, and Alan was elected and selected.
I guess. He's one of those that was in the trenches already when that law went into effect, right?
Yeah, I think he was one of the last group that was an elected superintendent in the state.
Let me just make a mention quickly, if you don't mind, Mr. Watson, that our family tree book, our Sesquicentennial family tree book, is nearing the end of editing, and we're ready to index, and very shortly we'll be publishing. So that will definitely be available by our original date of June, and we're excited about that. We have over 400 family trees that people have submitted, and it's been a wonderful experience getting to talk with everyone about their families and working with the other ladies on the subcommittee to get that ready. And if everybody hasn't noticed, please pay attention to our sponsors, our Sesquicentennial sponsors, on our website, which is clayco150.com, and also on our Facebook page. We have lots of wonderful sponsors. And those that are platinum, gold, and silver level sponsors are also listed on the chamber sign. And maybe on the website, too. But we really encourage everyone who can to sponsor us, please, because we still have lots of activities that need funding. And any additional, this is very important, any additional funding that we don't use for our celebrations that our sponsors have donated will absolutely go to the preservation of this building that we're in right now. And we desperately need as much support as we can for that, don't we, Mr. Watson?
Yes, we do. With that, let's take a little short break. We'll come back, and we're going to continue along this line for a little bit about the family history book. But right now, let's take a little short word from our sponsor.
Identity theft is the fastest growing crime in America, and fraud is a threat to all of us. That's why Macon Bank and Trust SecureLock makes great sense. This easy-to-use mobile app allows you to protect your debit card, turning it on and off as needed, and you can customize your card by setting certain permissions. Want to know more about how to protect yourself and your money? Then talk with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
Sweetie, want some fruit?
You have to use the right tool for the job. A power drill is the wrong tool to slice fruit. Just like an antibiotic is the wrong tool to treat viruses, including colds and flu. Antibiotics are only needed for certain bacterial infections. When they aren't needed, antibiotics won't help you, and the side effects could still hurt you. Ask your healthcare professional when an antibiotic is the right tool and when it's not. Visit cdc.gov/antibiotic-use.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Alvin and the Chipmunks want to remind you to keep bacteria in food from making you ill with four simple steps.
This will be a walk in the park.
Clean, wash hands and surfaces often.
I'm ready to go.
Separate, keep raw meats away from ready-to-eat foods.
Yep.
Cook, make sure meat, poultry, and seafood is cooked to the right temperature.
Fire in the hole!
And chill, refrigerate food promptly.
Bingo.
Check your steps at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council. The road trip to food safety starts at foodsafety.gov.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Welcome back, everyone. Miss White, we have wandered just a little, but not a whole lot. Miss White, with the family history books, I think, you know, talk to folks about, you know, sometimes some of the things involved, and even though you didn't do a family history, you may be highly interested in purchasing one of these.
Yes, there were obviously several hundred names, probably up to 1,000 last names that will be included in the book, because we anybody who's ever lived in Clay County was eligible to submit a family tree, and that might mean people who have seven generations that have lived in this area or someone that moved in the month before the deadline. So it's a good cross-section of all Clay County families. So I think that people will be very interested in to have a copy just to see how many people they're related to that they didn't know.
You know, sometimes, you know, when you start looking at this stuff, I know my grandmother Watson passed away when my dad was, maybe about 4 or 5 years old, and she had, she contracted tuberculosis at a very young age, and I got thinking, and I actually went online and found the, I guess 1910 census in Texas, where that they were listed in the census out there, and you know, you look there and you see the little thing across, and your dad was 6 months old in 1910.
Yeah.
And then I know, and then of course that was in the day when you had tuberculosis, they told you to go to a dry climate.
Right.
But it didn't work, and I actually got to looking, and I have a letter that my grandmother had written back to her aunt from out there during the period of time that they were there. So, I mean, it kind of brings things in focus. And like Miss White knows, you know, you can, if you don't know where people were at a certain time, you can finally track down where they were living at a certain time. when they came back to Tennessee, when they left, Kentucky. You know, go online and find the marriage license, the death certificate.
And they usually traveled in groups, in family groups, extended family groups.
And I knew, when I did just a little bit of research on my dad, and I always thought that he had lived with my grandpa and his stepmother out there, but I found out that he lived with a cousin out there.
Right.
And you
had to go where people were that you knew.
Right. Mm-hmm. But with that, you know, there's lots of interesting things that you can do. When you're sitting around now and in front of that machine and just looking at Facebook or just wasting time, do a little research. You can go online and just throw a name out there. If you think they were living in Montana in 1910, you know, do a little Google on that name, and you're liable to get directed to the census in Montana or somewhere or another and be able to track down someone.
And there are free sites. You know, we talk about Ancestry.com a lot. That's pretty hefty for some people to have to pay for that subscription. But some sites are free, like FamilySearch.org. That's probably the best free site.
And, of course, the Find a Grave thing is kind of...
it's wonderful.
If you know the state that someone's buried in, you can finally drill down to find out if they've ever been listed. And most everybody in the world is anymore.
Most of them are.
And, of course, that's thanks to the Mormon Church.
Well, anybody can get involved with Find a Grave.
But, you know, I think the Mormon Church has been one of the best things that ever happened as far as doing ancestry checks.
Oh, for sure. Both the sites I just mentioned grow from that.
Yeah. And, well, Miss White, what else we got here this morning?
That's about all I have to say, Mr. Watson.
I can't believe you just said that.
We will be posting as much information as we can about the sesquicentennial when our committee is able to meet again. It would be nice, you know. We will postpone definitely probably until at least the fall. So please just be mindful of that and help us out all you can by sending all your historical documents and photos to us.
Okay, can I throw one more thing at you?
Sure.
As a perspective of a former and now semi-employed educator, your thoughts on the school year this year and the effects maybe in the future?
Well, it's certainly a different kind of experience for both the students and the teachers. I'm sad for the students who are missing out on not just the direct instruction they probably can benefit from, but also the social activities, the athletic activities that have been canceled as a result or at least postponed. Very sad that our boys basketball team could not go to the state tournament. They certainly earned that, but excited about their last game that they played, which you called. It was a wonderful thing, and I think is that when Mr. Edwards broke your record?
Yes.
Well, that's very interesting. That's very historical.
A great time to do that, as I've said before, and like I've said for a number of years, that when I was coaching, I always said if I won the last game I played, I'd quit.
But everybody will be okay as far as their education is concerned. To be really frank, most teachers will have covered their material by the time that schools were dismissed at this time because they were ready for state tests. And I'm sorry that that's how it is, but that's what drives everything now.
You know, and that's one thing that I was kind of, you know, maybe just a little bit of concern with, and that is like some of the math classes that you have to reach a certain level in Algebra 1 before you're really ready for Algebra 2.
Mm-hmm.
But usually, you know, we both know most of the education work is done by halfway through the last semester.
Yes, because we want to review heavily for the exam, with the state exam coming up.
And usually most of our seniors have more than enough credits to graduate at the mid-semester of their senior year.
Yes, and the teachers in Clay County have been doing a super job with their online instruction, and I'm appreciative of that. And I know that's hard for students, too, and everybody's just doing the best they can, and it'll be okay.
Yep, we'll get through it, won't we?
Yes,
all right,
we will.
With that, before I go to break, I'm going to go ahead and do our list of birthdays and anniversaries, and we'll do that, and we'll take a little short break, and we'll be back, and Mr. Kevin Donaldson is outside, and we're going to do our little weekly update here that I don't know what we may have to call it, some type of news hour or something, but celebrating a birthday, beginning with Miss Sherry Ann Denton, so on the 13th of this month. And also celebrating a birthday this week, Miss Bernice Rush out on Pea Ridge. Bernice is one of our big athletic fans.
A major supporter.
Yeah, a major supporter. And I know her daughter is a teacher over in Putnam County.
Yes, and was Teacher of the Year.
I was going to die.
I'm sorry, I stole that.
No, she was elected Teacher of the Year over in Putnam County this year. And also, Mr. Ray Hatcher celebrated birthday this past week. And we'd like to wish Miss Diane Brown a happy birthday, our former gal Friday over at the Chamber. She celebrated the birthday. Mr. Billy Kendall. Most folks don't know who Billy Kendall is, but if you don't, sometime along you'll find out who he is. And also, I'd like to say a happy birthday to a special friend and lady over in Overton County, Miss Lee Smith. I'd like to say a happy birthday to her. And also, Karen Strong celebrated a birthday this past week. But remember that number, 243-5574, if you want to get your name on the list, and get on the list to come get you a birthday cake whenever you can. We're not sure when that's going to take place either. But with that, we'll be back just in a minute. Thank you, Miss White.
Macon Bank and Trust offers a new and better checking account with free e-checking. Enroll for e-statements to avoid a $6 monthly minimum balance charge and enjoy free ATM cash withdrawals at some ATMs across the nation. Free online banking and mobile banking with mobile deposit. Free online bill pay, MasterCard debit card, and 50 free checks at opening. Talk e-checks with us today. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC, and equal housing lender. Come grow with us. Third-party data or messaging fees may apply.
Sweetie, want some fruit?
You have to use the right tool for the job. A power drill is the wrong tool to slice fruit. Just like an antibiotic is the wrong tool to treat viruses, including colds and flu. Antibiotics are only needed for certain bacterial infections. When they aren't needed, antibiotics won't help you, and the side effects could still hurt you. Ask your healthcare professional when an antibiotic is the right tool and when it's not. Visit cdc.gov/antibiotic-use.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skill, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Alvin and the Chipmunks want to remind you to keep bacteria in food from making you ill with four simple steps.
These will be a walk in the park.
Clean, wash hands and surfaces often.
I'm waiting for the rinse cycle.
Separate, keep raw meats away from ready-to-eat foods.
Yep.
Cooked meat, poultry, and seafood is cooked to the right temperature.
Fire in the hole!
And chill. Refrigerate food promptly.
Bingo.
Check your steps at foodsafety.gov. Brought to you by the USDA, HHS, and the Ad Council. The road trip to food safety starts at foodsafety.gov.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
Us will be there when you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Welcome back, everyone. Kevin just joined us this morning, and I said, we've got our little, we've got our weekly overview here this morning. During this period of time, we haven't really reached out to a lot of people about coming down and joining us because, we kind of feel like it's not the best idea in the world, but I really appreciate Miss White coming by this morning. It's nice when we can get her to talk, say a little something, but we're still working on our sesquicentennial celebration. Like she said, we don't know exactly how it's going to finally play out, but it's a big deal, and I know, of course, over in Monroe County, they're celebrating over there a 200 one. But this thing, all at once, something we never really thought would happen. I guess when this we first started hearing about this, you know, we thought this would be something that comes through like the flu, and it'd be gone, and we'd be a regular country all over again. But, Kevin, it hadn't happened that way, had it?
No, it hadn't. I guess we keep using the phrase, but we are really in uncharted waters, for sure.
And we really don't know, really have no idea, and, you know, and I don't, there are so many, without getting into any type of politics, but there are so many experts with so many varying degrees of concern, methods of return, methods of stopping, and all those things. Sometimes we begin to realize that, you know, irregardless of any amount of preparation that could have been dreamed of, is something that really probably technologically, humanly possible to have really prepared for something like this.
I agree with you, Thomas, especially something of this magnitude. I mean, looking back, you know, it's easy to see things that could have been done, no doubt about that. Several years ago, recently, all the things in between as well, but I don't believe you could ever be totally prepared for something of this magnitude. It just, to me, it seems like it would be impossible. You just try to be as well prepared as you can be, I guess.
Well, you know, and sometimes you see these so-called experts that come on and say, well, I've been telling you this for 10 years. And, you know, after the ninth year, you get to thinking, you know, does this guy know what he's even talking about? And, you know, when you keep, you know, like we will tell you, when you keep crying wolf so long, when it does finally happen, you back up and say, well, I told you so.
Right.
And, you know, there's really no legitimate, there's no legitimate really a cause for that, is there?
And there's so many, I'm doing air quotes, everybody, experts that don't agree on exactly what should be done or the direction we're headed, or, you know, have we seen the worst of it? Is it going to get still a little bit more widespread with COVID-19? And we have so much information. We're just bombarded with information if we allow ourselves to be. You know, we can unplug, but it seems like when you're sheltered and staying home, you have a tendency to lean on the media, you know, to glean that information. But, boy, it can be an overload at times.
Yeah, and sometimes, you know, and the way our nation is today, we have so many people that hit that one spot and they stop there. And that we're, I guess, really and truly, as a nation right now, that we really, there may not be a place where we can go and really and find unbalanced and what we would call levelized information, is there?
No, well, and here's this coming from an old newsman. You know, I got in the newspaper business when I was 19 years old. I won't say how many years ago that's been, but it's been decades. And I'm not really sure where you go to get completely balanced news anymore, you know, on either end of the spectrum or anywhere in between there.
No, it doesn't matter. If you turn between the two major antagonistic news channels, you can watch CNN for about 10 minutes, and you can flip it over to Fox for about 10 minutes, and you're going to find a 360-degree turn about what they're saying. And a lot of times it's on the very same subject with, as you said, so-called experts talking about it.
Well, I can remember way back, this would have been in the 80s, I'll throw out a name here that some folks will remember, Murray Miles. You know, he did a TV show each Saturday, I believe it was Saturday, if I'm not mistaken, and wrote a weekly newspaper column, which we ran in the local paper. And I remember him writing even that far back, if you really want the unvarnished news, the more local you get, the more unvarnished it is. You know, the folks at the top level maybe have some influences there, and they're maybe leaning one direction or another. But the further down you get to your local folks, the more balanced and fair and unbiased it probably is. And that was, well, 35 years ago he was saying that, and I'd say it still holds true.
You know, and it's kind of, I kind of snigger and look at it each time that one of those major news groups, they come up with a poll of any kind, and you know, these, all these percentages that show this on one, all these, well, you know, if you watch it, you know that they're each one appealing to a certain group that a majority of are going to vote a certain way, no matter how the question is posed or whatever. And, you know, those things are, you know, it's a good thing we don't elect people by polls.
Yeah. Well, that's been proven to be wrong many times over, depending on what the poll is. But like you say, where do you go to get an unbiased poll? And the way questions are phrased makes a big difference in the answers that are harvested through those polls, for sure. Thomas went to the 10.gov website this morning, which anybody can do, and kind of gathered some as up-to-date numbers about COVID-19 as we've got. I know everybody's always interested. A lot of folks are keeping up with this, but there may be some folks who are not online as much as some of the rest of us. But on a local level now, we do have, or have had, I guess that's the best way to say it, have had five confirmed cases of COVID-19 in Clay County. And we can actually break that down a little bit more. Now, the state has says cases and labs by county. They've got a column for deceased, recovered, total cases, negative labs. And here's the way it shakes out for Clay County. No deaths, thankfully. We have one recovery listed that way already. And, again, we have five confirmed cases. And there have also been 132 negative labs. So we've, you know, testing has ramped up some. And as we talked about last week, the more people you test, the more cases you're going to uncover, obviously. Doesn't mean they were just infected like that. It just means it becomes known. They know it.
9 o'clock to 3 o'clock over at the health department.
Absolutely.
And I believe the governor would free testing for Tennesseans. I don't know if it's in effect yet or not.
I printed something else off the TN.gov site. The governor has directed the what's now being called the Unified Command Group to expand the testing to enable more Tennesseans to have access to the testing. And it's a weekend thing. My understanding is that all the health departments across the state of Tennessee, Monday through Friday, you can get tested. Nothing's changing there, but what they're doing is expanding to the weekend. The first one, April 18th and the 19th, with the Tennessee National Guard. Now, not for every county they have picked out, and I don't know how that's going to play through the upcoming weekends, but this weekend, at least, there will be 15 drive-through testing sites across the state. Now, Clay County is not one of those, but if you feel like you need to be tested, you can drive to neighboring Pickett County. Pickett County is on that list and get tested. Now, they're planning on doing that the weekends of April 25 and 26 and May 2nd and 3rd. And a complete list of sites, testing sites, that is on the state website, tn.gov. But they're urging, and again, I'll just read straight off the website there. It says, every Tennessean who isn't feeling well, even outside of the traditional COVID-19 symptoms of cough, fever, or difficulty breathing, should get tested. So if you have a concern, even if you're not symptomatic, opportunity is there now to be tested, it looks like. And again, Monday through Friday, 9 to 3 here at the health department in Saline.
You know, it seems like, you know, with our governor and lots of governors in lots of states so many of our governors have been, you know, I guess we can just hard ankle states' rights folks that, you know, that didn't want all this federal interference in the running of the state. And then it seems like, you know, when something like this comes along, it kind of seems like, you know, they would like to change their stances on things, but they want somebody up above them to tell them they have to.
Well, yeah, a lot of doors have been opened during this about states' rights, individual rights as well. And you and Ms. White, Thomas, talked about something earlier, and I guess that's the biggest news of the last 24 hours, is that Governor Lee has recommended, right, or called on the schools to remain closed throughout the school year. I guess we say it's probably a given that all the local school districts will do that because they've fallen right in line with all the other recommendations. But Governor Lee was very adamant about pointing out this is a recommendation,
right.
and it's still going to go back to the local school districts to make certain decisions. I'm just thinking out loud. I don't know if this will be approved by the State Department. You're a longtime educator. Would that probably be the protocol on that?
Yeah, and I think too, Kevin, that he probably, I don't know what protocol he will go through to actually order the closing, because I think these orders have to come back and be approved, I think maybe by the Attorney General, I think that you, through the Board of Education, and then through the Attorney General for approval. I think some things they were doing last week, you know, about changing the credits for,
right.
And did you notice that it had to, the State Board had to approve it, and then it had to go to the Attorney General for his signature on it?
I actually didn't notice the Attorney General part, but that sounds perfectly logical to me.
Yeah. He is, of course, the state's lawyer, and I do know that thing with the credits to graduate, it's fluctuated over the years, because I think when probably going back in how many years, about in the 60s or so, it was like 16 credits, maybe 16 or 17.
It was 16 for me when I graduated. That's a long time ago,
yeah.
Too, and a lot of credits ago. Thomas, I know we probably need to go to one more break, but when we come back, I'd like to ask you what you think about the schools being closed this long. You're a longtime educator.
Okay, well, let's take a little short break, and we'll come back, and we'll talk about that a little bit.
Let's face it, we are not the most patient people on earth. We've become accustomed to having instant solutions to most any need. Macon Bank and Trust now offers an instant solution for your spending needs with Card at Once, an instant issue MasterCard debit card. Come in, open your account, and walk out with your new debit card. No waiting. Macon Bank and Trust, member FDIC and equal housing lender. Come grow with us.
Sweetie, want some fruit?
You have to use the right tool for the job. A power drill is the wrong tool to slice fruit. Just like an antibiotic is the wrong tool to treat viruses, including colds and flu. Antibiotics are only needed for certain bacterial infections. When they aren't needed, antibiotics won't help you, and the side effects could still hurt you. Ask your healthcare professional when an antibiotic is the right tool and when it's not. Visit cdc.gov/antibiotic-use.
Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center, a Grace Healthcare facility serving you from the heart, restoring dignity and rekindling hope. Salina Health and Rehabilitation Center specializes in rehab services for those who need therapy in order to return to their home after a surgery or illness, with a full staff of physical, occupational, and speech therapists. They serve patients' needs through multiple levels of care, including skilled, traditional, and respite care. Call today to speak with their admissions coordinator for more information. 931-243-3139.
Tri-County Electric offers our member owners several free options to make paying your electric bill a little easier. Bank draft means never having a late charge. Your bank account will be drafted on the actual date your bill is due. Due date selection allows you to choose what the date is, a date convenient for you, because sometimes a day or two makes a difference. Levelized billing is a rolling 12-month average, keeping the larger winter and summer bills from overwhelming your budget. Contact your local Tri-County Electric office for more details. Tri-County Electric, owned and operated by those we serve.
You're going to need me.
You're going to need us.
All of us.
You're going to need our help with your water, your air, your food.
You're going to need our determination, our compassion.
You're going to need the next generation of leaders to face the challenges the future will bring.
And we promise we'll be there. When you need us.
Today, 4-H is growing the next generation of leaders. Support us at 4-H.org.
Welcome back, everyone. Kevin, I know, of course, Ms. White and I talked a little bit about it, and we were talking about this big, long gap that we're having in education. I know, I think maybe you said you had a couple of direct questions to so well, out at an old age.
Well, yeah, you were in the classroom and on the ball court for a long time, and then even after that, you were a technology person. I'm not going to ask you to say how many years you were in unless you want to, but as a former, I don't know if you're ever a former educator. I believe once you're an educator, you probably stay that way as long as you're breathing, but how would you go about bridging this gap? We're going to wind up with a 4.5 month gap between kids going 1 year and then starting the next. You know, it's normally 2.5, but we've got 4.5 or 5 months. How do you deal with that? What do you think the state might do or the local school districts do to bridge that gap?
Well, you know, Kevin, I don't know, but I know a number of years ago there was a federal government program that took place all over this area called the Summer Youth Program, mm-hmm. where, you know, that we got a federal grant to come in here, and we hired kids, low-income students that could work during the summer at the various schools, county offices, and things like that. But now, before that program was over, I don't know which administration it was under, but they came up with a program called the STEP program, which was the summer training, educational something, where they we went, and I became the director for the Upper Cumberland on that.
Okay.
I worked in basically during that time in all 11 or 12 counties doing that kind of overseeing part of it. And they we worked with a group called Public Private Ventures out of Philadelphia, I believe they were, and they had developed a bunch of not school to work but educational modules that fit in with a summer youth work program. And they ranged in everything from some math programs, from Shakespeare plays, they actually, you know, for the weeks that they were in summer youth, they spent half their time in the classroom setting, and we actually hired teachers at each one of the schools, and they worked with those kids to stem what they call summer learning loss.
Right.
And you know, and that lasted, I don't know, for quite a few years, and I know that was something they did there. But, you know, along that same line, I think sometimes in this, we talked about the technology, sometimes, you know, something like this, it may help students to realize that some of the things that what they thought was important, what they spent a lot of their time on, it may give them, even as young as some of them are, a different perspective on where their life is going, what they're doing, and it may add some seriousness to it. But as far as the one thing that would concern me would be is those classes that require you to reach a certain point, if they're like a continuing class in English 1, English 2, English 3, especially like in the grammar where you covered a certain thing and you were supposed to get it by your plan, supposed to get that covered through the end of that year.
Right.
That, you know, if you're going to have to try, and if you didn't get it done this year, try to catch them up maybe the first month of next year, that type thing. But, you know, I don't know exactly. I do know back when Miss Jane Walters was the, I think she was the Commissioner of Education there at one time. I got to do this quickly. You know, her thing was, the end of school year was, after testing got done, all of the school systems in Tennessee fired them big yellow buses up in with their trips. Because traditionally, probably the last month of school had kind of been a wrap-up, and most of the educational work had been done. But now we're looking at, like you said, 4 months here and 3 months here, whatever, 5, 6, 7 months, without any formal structured education. You know, it may be kind of hard to, you know, to move back into that structured classroom
right
at the beginning of the year.
It'll be interesting.
Well, I guess I need to. I've got a name drawn out for a birthday today. Miss Cherry Ann Denton, you have won the cake today.
Congratulations.
And that will go on a list over to Chamber.
Right.
And when we get through all this stuff, we may run the Dairy Queen out of birthday cakes here at one time when everybody comes over to get theirs at the same time. Well, Kevin, it's been a pleasure having you here this morning.
Thank you, Tom.
And, of course, we'll probably try to do another 30 minutes next week, and hopefully we'll have some. I think this is supposed to be one of the peak weeks.
That's what they had said earlier.
We hope it is, and we look around, and some of the places are doing what they call flattening of the curve, and hopefully this thing, you know, it'll take us back to we can't say back to normalcy like one of our president, a new normalcy, I guess,
right,
we'll be looking at. But with that, I guess it's time to say good day, Clay County. We'll get the barn door shut here at the old historic Clay County Courthouse, turn the fireplace down, and get out and maybe do a little, plant a few flowers or something. They look like it's going to be weather fit to do that. And, of course, may the good Lord bless and keep you until we meet you again. And hopefully we'll meet you here on WVFB-FM 101.5 Kicks Country at the same time, same channel next week. And with that, we'll just say good day, Clay County.
Thanks for being with us today for the Clay County Corner on Kicks Country. We thank all of our interesting guests, and we thank all of our fine sponsors. Our sponsors take pride in and care about our community. So when the need arises, make sure you visit them. Or just give them a call and tell them thanks for sponsoring the Clay County Corner. So until next Thursday morning at 9, we hope you have a great week.